The 2nd of August is the date in 1945 when Australia's first immigration minister, Arthur Calwell, gave a speech in Parliament that's been called a major landmark in this country's history and a speech that changed Australia. The new policy of planned migration that Calwell announced on the 2nd of August 1945 has also been described as a policy that was to change Australia in a far more fundamental way than anything else since the end of the Second World War. The Museum of Australian Democracy describes the speech in a section called Arthur Calwell and the Gift of Immigration. But his legacy is a complicated one, to say the least, because that gift of immigration was very much wrapped up with Arthur Calwell's staunch and lifelong support for the White Australia policy. James Franklin is an honorary professor of mathematics at the University of New South Wales, but also the co-author of a 2023 monograph about the life of Arthur Calwell. And I'm very pleased to say he joins us now to discuss a much overlooked figure. Welcome, James.
Thank you, Julian.
Firstly, could you just give us a brief overview of the life and career of Arthur Calwell?
Older Australians remember Calwell best as the unsuccessful Labor federal opposition leader in the early 1960s. He almost defeated Menzies in the 1961 election, but after that he became more and more unpopular and was replaced by Gough Whitlam. But the most important part of his life wasn't then. It was his period as Australia's first immigration minister from 1945 to 1949 in Ben Chifley's government. In that role, he transformed Australia by bringing in the first large numbers of non-English-speaking immigrants, 170,000 displaced persons from Eastern Europe, refugees from communism. It began the process, as you say, that gave us the multicultural Australia of today.
Yeah, so a really significant contribution, and indeed it was on the 2nd of August in 1945, just a few weeks into the job for the first time as Australia's immigration minister, that Calwell addressed Parliament. And some of the phrases he used at the time resonate with today. He said that the door to Australia is always open and spoke about how we must change our attitude towards immigrants from foreign countries. But those sentiments were also repeatedly qualified by the phrase, within the limits of our existing legislation, which meant, of course, the White Australia policy. And Calwell backed that for his entire career. What are your reflections on Calwell's speech as our first immigration minister and its significance?
This speech marks a complete about turn in Australia's attitude to immigration. After a decade or two of hardly any immigration, Australia was now to welcome large numbers. And the speech not only marks a change of attitude, it's important because that's what actually happened. From 1947, when Calwell's program properly got underway, Australia has been a high immigration country every year. The immigrants have come not just from the traditional sources of England and Ireland, but from many countries and speaking many languages. Australia has transformed into a multicultural nation. In his speech, he hopes that immigration will create unity in Australia. Let me quote three sentences. Unfortunately, campaigns are fostered in this country from time to time on racial and religious grounds by persons who have ulterior motives to serve. The activities of such people cannot be too strongly condemned. They are anti-Australian and anti-Christian and make not for national unity and national well-being, but for the creation of discord and bitterness that is harmful to Australia at home and abroad.
And one of the really significant things that Calwell took on was the, if you like, the public advocacy for immigration and bringing around particularly the labour movement to the idea of increased levels of immigration. But James, I think it's fair to say that the image that Arthur Calwell had of Australia, even as a migrant nation, was very different from what we understand of multicultural Australia today. Indeed, he wrote to Chifley in 1944 about his determination to develop a heterogeneous society. What did he mean by that, and why did he want it?
Well, the mass immigration program had a number of purposes in his and the government's mind. The main thing was populate or perish. That was an urgent slogan after the huge scare of the Japanese invasion. But behind the scenes, and besides having a genuine wish to help the refugees, they wanted to make Australia more diverse. And as a poor Irish Catholic Australian, he was no fan of the British Protestant establishment that ran Australia. And he said much later, without his immigration program, Australia would have stayed a dull inbred country of predominantly British stock. So he looked for the right kind of migrants, in his view, to widen the base. Not just anyone would do. He meant white immigrants willing to assimilate and become, as he named them, new Australians.
Yes, indeed. In that letter, he talks about the heterogeneous society being a society where Irishness and Roman Catholicism would be as acceptable as Englishness and Protestantism, but also then where an Italian background would be as acceptable as a Greek, a Dutch, or any other, he says. So, if you like, it's a gateway, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And he was certainly wanted to be heterogeneous, but not, so to speak, infinitely heterogeneous. Yeah, he thinks social cohesion is only possible under some circumstances if you're careful about who is let in.
Mm. One of the things about that speech on the 2nd of August 1945 that Corwell gave is that it identifies a target of 70,000 immigrants a year, or 1% of the population. How and why did actual immigration under Corwell differ from that target?
For the first couple of years, there was no shipping could be found, but from late 1947, the floodgates opened, and there were considerably over 100,000 per year, both British and European, so well above his target. And the reason for that was that a million refugees were available in camps in Europe, full employment held up in Australia, and public support in the electorate also held up, which was not obvious that that would happen. So immigration ramped up, and with bipartisan support, so the Menzies government continued massive immigration into the 1950s and 1960s.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Professor James Franklin about the life and career of Arthur Corwell on the anniversary of his first speech to Parliament as Immigration Minister. And it is a complex legacy, James. The Museum of Australian Democracy entries about Corwell also include, for example, a 1949 letter referring to his strictly secret ruling that, quote, persons who are not of pure European descent are not suitable as settlers in Australia. And there are also lots of documents about deportation decisions of non-Europeans that do seem cruel today, and speeches reflecting Corwell's staunch support for the White Australia policy. In the 1990s, Professor Jerry Zabricki said that Corwell's stand on White Australia seems to be contrary to his own personal beliefs, his own Catholicism, and his own basic decency. Do you agree with that observation?
Well, that was certainly a problem, as some other Catholics like Archbishop Mannix and B.A. Santa Maria told him. At the same time, in the interest of understanding history, we should appreciate what reasons he gave for defending the White Australia policy. There's no evidence that he was personally racist, and he denied that he thought the white race was superior. The reasons he gave were that the evidence of other countries showed that multiracial societies always descended into racial violence. He was a great admirer of the United States, except for their racial tensions, which were certainly in a bad phase in the 1940s before the civil rights movement. He instances race riots in Fiji and Malaya, and he might also have had in mind two events of 1948, apartheid in South Africa, and the formation of the State of Israel by immigrants who had no intention of assimilating. And the year before, nearly a million dead in the partition of India. His view was, we don't want any of that here, so we can't allow in any significant numbers of non-whites. Yeah. Now, it's turned out since then that skin colour is not relevant to the unity of societies.
Yes.
But cultural differences between immigrants and host nations still are relevant. And I think if Corwell were here to see our Royal Commission on Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion, he might say, I told you so.
In terms of the contributions of Corwell, obviously the migration policy is a huge thing. I have seen him described as the father of multiculturalism. Do you think that's putting it a bit high, James?
No, I think that's absolutely right. It might not have happened at all. For example, the similar things barely happened in New Zealand. It was a conscious decision, and one that paid off mightily for Australia, mostly in good ways. And it wouldn't have happened without him, and as he says, without the support of chiefly as Prime Minister.
One aspect of Corwell's biography that I only became aware of through your monograph is that he experienced, as you put it, a higher quota of tragedy than most in his life, in particular on account of the early deaths of his mother, his first wife and his son. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, many sad events there. His mother died aged 40 just before his excellent final school results, And his first wife died in 1922, 5 months after their marriage, and he remarried only 10 years after that. During his time as Minister for Immigration, his son Arthur Andrew died of leukemia aged 11. Then his prime ministerial ambitions came to nothing. So he certainly had a lot of tragedy, and he did need the consolation of his faith.
Yes, and we've had a couple of texts in on the theme of Corwell. Bill noting that someone tried to shoot Arthur Corwell in Mossman, that was, I think, recorded at the time as the first assassination attempt in Australian politics. And another person texted in to say, my great uncle, who's Chinese, had dealings with Corwell, and he was not racist at all. It was about politics. Your thoughts on those texts, James?
That's right. He was well known for getting on well with the Chinese and other local communities, the Jewish ones.
Reportedly tried to learn Mandarin, is that right?
He did that. And the Irish Gaelic as well. He was quite an intellectual person and able to get on with a very wide range of people. He's certainly not in any sense narrow-minded himself.
Yeah, it really is a fascinating life and one that's quite overlooked. So it's been great speaking with you about it today, and for anyone who's interested in the life of Arthur Corwell, James's monograph is a very readable and concise introduction to it. So, James, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra today.
Many thanks.
That's James Franklin, Honorary Professor of Mathematics at the University of New South Wales and also co-author of the 20th entry in Connor Court Publishing's Australian Biographical Monographs series. And if you're interested, the archival material about Arthur Corwell and migration on the Museum of Australian Democracy website is also fascinating as well.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.